even more than just learning and comprehending what it is that we're learning tonight, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, I ask that you would please bless us as we look at your word. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're continuing on Sunday nights our series that we've been preaching about on Sunday nights. We've been preaching a series entitled Fundamental Truths. And it's really kind of a discipleship course. We're going through some basic lessons in regards to what it is that Christians need to know to be able to be healthy and mature in their Christian life. And we're on lesson number 6 already. Can you believe that? Already on lesson number 6. And we started off with the lesson on salvation. Then we talked about baptism. Then we talked about the King James Bible. Then we talked about, what else did we talk about? We talked about the church. We talked about, what was the last one? Bible reading. And tonight we're here on the lesson on prayer. So you should have your hand out there. And like I said, we don't make a habit of doing this. And as soon as this series is done, we'll stop giving a handout. But I just want you to have these so you can have something to refer back to kind of help you out. Now, we read Matthew chapter number 6. But if you look there, we've got Luke chapter number 11 and verse 1 in your handout for you. And it reads, and it says this: "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So you see there, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying in a certain place. When he was done praying, one of his disciples said, they asked this question. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better teacher to teach on this subject or any other subject. I mean, if anyone's going to teach you how to pray, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like us to just look for a few moments here at how it is exactly that the Lord taught on the subject, and not just Jesus Christ, but the entire Bible, on the subject of prayer. So we're going to go through this systematically, just talk about what prayer is, how it works, things like that, and hopefully you'll learn something tonight. Point number one, first we want to talk about public prayer. Public prayer. Now, when we say public prayer, what we mean by that is prayer that's done in public. It's usually in a church setting or something like that. Now, at our church, after the service, I'll ask the men to pray and dismiss us in service. That's what's considered a public prayer. And Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." And I want you to notice this term, "that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now you've got to understand this about public prayer. There is a time for public prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will, therefore, that men," notice, "pray everywhere." Do you see that? God, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, "I will." He said, "My plan is that men pray everywhere." That means men ought to pray at home, men ought to pray at church, men ought to pray at their job sites. God says He wants you praying everywhere. He says, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. But the warning I would give you when it comes to public prayer is this: it is so easy to get into this mindset of, "I'm going to pray publicly that they may be seen of men." Do you understand that? Sometimes I remember growing up, being in church, and there'd be, and this has never happened at our church, and I don't think it ever will, but I remember there'd be times when the pastor would say, "And we're going to ask Brother so-and-so to dismiss us in a word of prayer." And some men would get up and they'd pray for 25 minutes. And while they were praying, they were preaching a sermon, you know. But they were like, "Our Heavenly Father." And I mean, they got really into it. And they were preaching and they were saying this and that. And you know, a lot of times that seems real disingenuous. You know what I mean? It just seems like they're doing it to be seen of men. And something you need to be careful about public prayer, especially with the men, is don't pray to be seen of men. In fact, don't do anything to be seen of men. It's never a good idea to be motivated by the fact that I'm doing something because I want people to see me doing it. Do you ever get this kind of a weird feeling when you know someone is doing something nice for you, but the only reason they're doing it is because they're trying to show other people, like, "Look what I did." You know what I mean? It just makes you feel like, just get away from me. Like, I don't even want that. You know what I mean? So we ought not do things to be seen of men. In John chapter number 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him." Notice, there were many that believed on him of the chief rulers. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him," referring to Christ. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Look at verse 43. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." We ought to be very careful to be wanting to show off for men or you know, have the praise of men and not be doing it for the praise of God. So we got to understand that there is a time for public prayer. But when we pray publicly, we need to understand that we need to do it not to be seen of man. We need to do it for the glory of God. Matthew 23:14 says, "Woe unto the scribes and unto the hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." So I wanted to start off by just talking about public prayers. But let's now talk about something a little more personal. Let's talk about private prayers. Private prayers. Now just like public prayers, there, letter A there, is a time for private prayer. Matthew 6:6. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "But thou, when thou prayest," notice what he says. Now the word "thou" there, that's a singular. That's talking about an individual. He says, "But thou," you, singularly, "when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father." Notice what he says. "Which is in secret, for thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." You know, every single one of us ought to have a prayer life. And I'm not going to, please, you know, don't answer out loud or anything like that. But honestly, do an inventory of your life and answer this question. How much time do we actually spend in prayer? And I think if we were honest, we would realize that as Christians, we spend a very small amount of time in prayer. And you know, it's a sad statement to say that because probably the most powerful weapon we've got in our arsenal to be able to accomplish something for the Lord Jesus Christ is prayer. Like we talked about this morning, we have access. The Bible says in Hebrews that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. And we have access to God who's omnipresent, who's omniscient, who's omnipotent. I mean, He can do anything. He knows everything. He has all control. And this God who you and I have access to communicate with whenever we want. But usually we ignore Him and we don't pray. But the Bible says we ought to have prayer time. Now, here's the interesting thing about prayer time. Secret prayer is more powerful than public prayer. You can pray publicly all you want. I can say, "Brother so-and-so, would you mind dismissing the sermon?" And you can pray for 45 minutes and show off about all your knowledge about the Bible all you want. But the Bible is very clear in this fact. If you want your prayers answered, you better spend more time praying secretly than praying publicly. Look at Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 5, look what it says. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." Look what it says. "That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you," notice, they have their reward. You see that? When they stand up and they do these prayers and they show up and they say, "Look at me. Look at how much Bible I know. And look at how spiritual I am. And look at how great I am." God says, you've got your reward. Look at verse 6 though. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." Notice, pray to thy Father which is in secret. "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Do you see that? See, there will come, and you may or may not be there in your Christian life, but there will come a time in your life where you need a prayer answered. I don't know if you're there. I'll be very honest with you. I grew up, you know, I was saved when I was 4 years old, and I was in an independent fundamental Baptist church probably a week after I was born. I've been in church my whole life, and I went a very long stretch of my life not really needing God to do a lot for me. I mean, when I was just a kid, my parents provided my food and clothing, you know what I mean? I mean, I was good to go. But as you get older in life and you start getting more responsibility, guess what? You start having more needs. Guess what? You start realizing that there's a lot of things that you cannot accomplish on your own. And you may or may not be there. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you're just, you know, sometimes we get to a place in our life where we're so successful with our jobs, or we're so successful in our situations that we literally, as adults, feel like we don't need God. But let me tell you something. We will all get to the place where we realize we need God. And when you need God, you're going to want to know the secret to having your prayers answered. And one of the secrets to having your prayer answered is to pray secretly. It's to spend time on your own. Spend time away from the crowd. Spend time away from the family. Spend time. You can't see me and receive and know how much time I spend in prayer. I can't see you and know how much time you spend in prayer. But God knows how much time you spend in prayer. And when we spend time in prayer, God says, if you pray, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. This, one of the secrets of having your prayers answered is to spend time praying alone. And not to minimize public prayer. There is a time for public prayer. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. There's a time for public prayer. But more important than public prayer is private prayer. And more important than public prayer is spending time on your knees alone with God. Remember this quote. Someone said this quote to me once, and I thought it was one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in regards to prayer. Remember this quote. Short public prayers and long private prayers. Short public prayers and long private prayers. If you're, especially you men, if I call on you and I say, Brother so-and-so, would you mind dismissing the service with a word of prayer? You know, and you know, don't take it to the extreme now. The guys are going to be like, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the service. Amen. You know, oh, we're good to go. Hey, give me some time. I got to take care of some stuff right here. I got to walk out that door. Okay, that's all I ask for. Yeah, you know, that's really your job. When I ask you to pray, I'm just trying to get out the door before everybody else, because the lumpia's out there. You know what I mean? I need to get to it. So, that's not funny. But just remember this. Short public prayers, long private prayers. Number three. So we talked about number one, public prayer. Number two, private prayer. Number three, let's talk about the process of prayer. The process of prayer. Pray, showing your respect to God. Look at Matthew 6:9 there. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, they asked him a question. What did they say? Lord, teach us to pray. So he says, okay, let me teach you how to pray. He says, after this manner. What that means, he's saying, in this way, I want you to pray. Our Father, notice how God, you say, Jesus Christ, well, Jesus Christ is God. But notice how Jesus Christ, God the Son, approaches God the Father. Notice what he says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, when you approach God in prayer, you ought to approach God with respect and reverence when you talk to God. And by the way, not just in prayer, in our lives. We need to understand that when we approach God reverently. When we approach Him in awe. I'm amazed by the, and you see there in point number two, but I'm amazed by the, and I'm not mad at people who do this, they've just not been taught right, but I'm amazed at the amount of Christians who will say this term. They'll say, oh my God. I'm sure you've heard people say that before. And they'll say it flippantly for any reason. Hey, how you doing? Oh my God, I had such a great week, let me tell you about it. You know, the Bible, we got there for you, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 27 says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That word vain means to use it in an unproductive way. The word vain means you're using it in a useless way. Let me tell you something. The only time the word God comes out of your mouth, the only time the word, you know, people say this, they'll be working on something and they'll hit their thumb on it with a hammer. And like, Jesus! You ought not say that. That's our Lord and Savior. You understand that? We ought to approach the Lord Jesus Christ and His name reverently. The Bible says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The only time those words come out of your mouth, when you either should be speaking to God or you should be speaking about God. You should not use his name as a curse word. You understand that? That's just Bible teaching. The Bible said, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And part of that is we need to understand. And by the way, you'll never hear Pastor Jimenez. I've heard pastors refer to God as the man upstairs. The old man upstairs. No, he's not the old man upstairs. He's God Almighty God. You understand that? Sure. And I try, even in my own personal life, and I may slip up, and if I do, you know, don't hold it against me or whatever. Sometimes when you're a pastor, people like to criticize. I don't know, criticize, but... Yeah, criticize. You're preaching. I had somebody come up to me after the service one time. And I'd heard this before, but I didn't think people did. Sometimes one guy came up to me and he said, Do you realize that you said 17 times? That's what he said to me. I said, what I preach about. Well, maybe you should have been reading the Bible when we were reading and paying attention instead of counting how many times I said, Because what the Word of God was saying might have helped you. So we've got to understand, so I said that to say, I try not to do this, but I try, when I refer to Jesus Christ, I try to use His title, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to use the name Jesus Christ. I'm just saying we need to be very careful to have a respect for God. Today our society sees God in a very small way. They see a very small God. They see a very weak God. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God of the Bible. So when we come to God in prayer, the process of prayer, pray showing respect to God, letter A. Letter B, pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. A lot of times when we get down on our knees to pray, we're immediately saying, God, Jesus, I need this. I need you to come through with this. And I need money for this. And look, there's a time for that. And we ought to ask our requests. The Bible's very clear about that. But before I ask God for anything, what I always do? I say, God, whatever your will is. Because see, He's omniscient and I'm not. He can see the future and I can't. Remember from this morning? He knows the possibilities and He knows what will come from it. And I always say, God, I'm asking for this, but if that's not the right thing, would you please just let your will be done? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Notice, Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He's praying for the will of God. Letter C. You ought to pray showing respect to God. Letter A. You ought to pray for God's will. Letter B. Letter C, you ought to pray for physical needs. You ought to pray for physical needs. Look at verse 11, Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. You see that? He's giving him an example of how to pray. He said, you ought to pray for God's will, but he said, it's okay to pray for physical needs. He said, it's okay to pray to God, give us this day our daily bread. You ought to spend time praying for your finances. You ought to spend time saying, Lord, will you please help us? We got these bills and we got these things and we got to take care of this. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying for food and shelter. There's nothing wrong with praying for your physical needs. You just got to get the process straight. You come to God reverently. You come to God asking for His will first. And then you can say, He says, give us today our daily bread. That's okay. Ask for physical needs. That's fine. You can ask for your help or other people's help. James chapter number 5 and verse 13. You've got it there in your notes. It says this. Is any among you afflicted? That's a question. Let me ask you this question. Is any among you afflicted? There's a lot of us that are afflicted. He said, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer, don't miss this, of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. See, the problem that you and I have is we go through the motions of prayer, but we don't really believe that God is going to answer our prayers. And prayer that does not have faith associated with it is worthless. The Bible says in James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe we ought to pray for people's health. Now you say, what if I pray for somebody's health and they don't get better? What if I prayed for someone's health and they died? What does that mean? Well, that's why we always pray, thy will be done. Maybe it was God's will for them to be done. Maybe it was God's will for them to go. Maybe it was God's will for that to happen. We can put in our request, but let's understand that God is the one who's sovereign. God is the one who's almighty. God is the one who knows best. That's where we get that comfort in his omnisciency. The fact that He knows everything gives us comfort that whatever we're going through, God knows what we're going through, and God knows best. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we're going through. Remember Job? He understands where you're at. Just trust in God. Letter D. When you're praying, you ought to pray for forgiveness. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. He says, forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. number one under that point, you should take prayer time. You should take prayer time every day to do something very important, which is confess and ask for forgiveness of your sins. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I want you to notice this word faithful. You know what that means? Is every time you confess your sins, He will faithfully forgive you of your sins. Every time you ask, you say, Lord, I messed up. Would you please forgive me? Every single time, He's ready to forgive. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to cleanse you and clean you. But we need to spend time asking for forgiveness in our prayer time. Now, be warned. I want you to warn this because we need to understand this as Christians. Oftentimes, we will have people hurt us or have people talk bad about us or have people criticize us or have people, you know, do something mean to us. And we'll hold this anger in our heart towards them and refuse, you know. I've heard people say, I refuse to forgive so-and-so. I will never forgive them. Well, you're in a very dangerous territory because in the same chapter that we're in, talking about prayer, if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, for if ye forgive the men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Look at verse 15 though. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you see that? See, the Bible says you reap what you sow. God says, you want to hold a grudge on your spouse, or you want to hold a grudge towards your parents, or you want to hold a grudge towards your children, or towards your employer, or towards your neighbor, or towards whatever. He says, you want to hold that in your heart, and you don't want to be forgiving. God says, okay, you don't want to forgive them, I won't forgive you. You say, well, Lord, please forgive me. He says, as soon as you forgive so-and-so, I'll be more than willing and faithful to forgive you. You know, we ought to spend time praying and asking. And you know, I personally believe that people who spend time in prayer confessing their sins to God and asking for forgiveness on a regular basis, there's a humbleness there that allows you to realize, wow, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm only here by the mercy of God. And when someone does you wrong, you just say, you know what? I like what Brother Vincent says. He says, I'm in the red. When it comes to the Christian life, I'm in debt. You know, and the truth of the matter is, we're all in debt. For what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, I mean, we're washed by the blood of the Lamb. None of us will ever repay that. None of us will ever. We will never be able to repay the amount of forgiveness that God gave us. And if He was willing to forgive us, shouldn't we be willing to forgive others? If He was willing to look past what we've done, shouldn't we be willing to say, you know what? It's okay. You know what? Don't worry about it. God bless you. I've already forgiven you. And that's what God says. So we got to spend time asking for forgiveness. Letter E, pray preemptively. Pray preemptively. You say, what does that word mean? I don't know. So I looked it up. The word means of or pertaining to preemption. That doesn't help us. Taken as a measure against something possible, anticipated or feared, preventative deterrent. When I was a mechanic in the Air Force, we had two sections. And the most important section was a section called preemptive maintenance. I had to change my brakes this week because my brakes got so low and they weren't changed that they messed up the rotor to the point where the rotor had to be replaced because the rotor wasn't changed. And somebody said to me, well, you know why that was, right? And why? Because I let it go too far. You know, I heard it screeching. And when you hear it screeching, you know, you should do something about it. So I did. I turned the radio higher so I wouldn't hear it. And it just didn't work. You know, my philosophy is ignore it till it goes away. or you got to deal with it. So, no, that's not good. But, you know, we ought to pray. Anyhow, what are we getting on that? Good night. Matthew 6:13. Look what it says. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray before you get in the fix. He said, just pray this way. He said, lead us not into temptation. He says, deliver us from evil. He said, before you get delivered to the evil, ask Him to not deliver you to evil. You understand that? Before you're in the temptation and you're like, I don't know what to do. He says, hey, just lead me not into temptation. We can do that. Number five. We got to move on. Number five, be persistent in prayer. This is probably the most important part right here. Be persistent in prayer. The Bible tells us that when we pray, there's a process to prayer. We ought to seek God reverently. We ought to, confess our sins to Him. We ought to ask for His will. We ought to do that. But you know, the power in prayer is consistency. We ought to be persistent in prayer. And the Bible gives us a few examples of this. In Luke chapter number 11, verse number 5, you got the verses there, but let me read them for you. The Bible says, "And He said unto them," this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking on the subject of prayer, "And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now he's given him an illustration. He says, you have a friend that comes to you at midnight, and he says, hey, can you let me borrow some food? Because my buddy came over, and I don't have anything to give him. Look at verse 7. "And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." So the friend says to the one friend, you understand the story? There's one friend. He goes to his neighbor. He says, friend, my other friend came over, and I don't have anything to give him. Can you help me? And the guy's asleep, and he's like, look, I'm already asleep. I got to get up early in the morning. Go away. That's what I say. That's what I say on Mondays. You need anything from me? I'll help you out all week long. Monday's my day off. Nah, I'm just kidding. Don't call me. Nah, I'm just kidding. Nah, we don't do that. Luke 11:8. Look what it says. Say, Pastor, you never answer my calls on Monday. You know, if I answer your calls on Monday, it means I like you. Nah, that's not good. Now people are going to be calling me on Monday. I knew it. Luke 11:8. Look what it says. "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend." He says he won't rise and give him because he's his friend. "Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed." See, that word means an urgent or persistent solicitation. Sometimes annoyingly. See, what Jesus was trying to teach was this. The man doesn't want to get out of bed to help him because they're friends. But the man will get out of bed and help him to make him go away. Do you understand that? He said, the guy keeps bothering me. He can say, no, I need you. You don't understand. I can't go to Save Mart. They closed. I can't go to the store. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. He says, fine. I'll get up and I'll help you. If you'll just leave me alone, you're annoying me. This is Jesus Christ teaching on prayer. He's trying to give you a secret how to get your prayers answered. Look at number 2. He gives you another example. Luke 18:1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." What was the end of the parable? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So he's trying to teach them, this is how you ought to pray. Look what he says. Luke 18:2, saying, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God." There's a judge, he was a bad judge, he feared not God. You ever heard of a bad judge before? I can point to probably 9 of them in the Supreme Court. No, anyway, let's get off of that. "A judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary." So there was this judge, he did not fear God, he did not fear man, this was a bad judge. And a widow comes to him, and she says, avenge me of mine adversary. She's telling the judge, you ought to do your job, and this man did me wrong, and you're the judge, and you should take care of it. Look at verse 4. "And he would not, for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me." Do you see that? It says, because this widow troubleth me. She will not leave me alone. She keeps coming to my house, knocking on my door. She keeps calling me. She keeps sending me letters. She keeps telling me, you know, to avenge. She says, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Do you see that? This is Jesus Christ teaching how to pray. He says, you know how you want to get your, you know, he says, you know how you should get your prayer answered? Here's how you should do it. You should keep asking God and asking God and asking God and asking God and asking God till He does it. Just keep bothering Him. And you say, well, what if He never does it? Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but look at verse 6. "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" See, I believe sometimes God just wants to see how much we actually believe He's going to pray. He's going to answer our prayer. See, sometimes you and I come to God and God, you got to do this for me. You got to show up. That lasts about 2 days and you know, 4 days later, we're on to something else. And you know what that tells God is, well, you obviously didn't need it. You obviously weren't that burdened about it. You understand what I'm saying? But somebody who comes to God year after year, praying and saying, God, you had to, you know. And usually if it's that type of prayer, it's because we're praying for something we really love or someone we really love. And God says, you just keep bothering him. You just keep troubling him. You just keep annoying him. You just keep persistent at it. You just keep stay at it. He says, eventually, he'll do it. Look at letter B there. And you got to understand this. When we're talking about being persistent in prayer, we are not referring to vain and repetitious prayers. We're not referring to chants. When we say be consistent in prayer or persistent in prayer, we're talking about praying to God on a consistent basis, continually coming before Him, asking Him. But what we're not talking about is, you know, there are religions that teach that you just take a prayer and you just repeat that prayer, you know, 100 times. And God, the Bible specifically teaches against it. And it's amazing to me, if you look at verse number, letter number one, good night. Number one, under letter B, I wrote this. It's amazing that Jesus Christ said, "Use not vain and repetitious prayers." He said, "When you pray, instead pray like this." And he goes on to give this example. That's what he's doing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. I want you to see this, okay? Do you see in your paper there? I don't know if you. I'm sure you've noticed this. But you see how it says Matthew 6, 7? Right underneath that, it says Matthew 6, 8. And then I wrote some stuff there, but then it's Matthew 6, 9, Matthew 6, 10. You understand that? We're looking at a passage in its context. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, the letters are unread. This means this is, these are the words that came out of his mouth. He says, but when ye pray, notice, he's teaching them, because what did they ask? Remember, what did they ask? Teach us to pray. So he says, okay, well, let me teach you about praying. He says, when ye pray, notice what he says. Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. Do you see that? He says, when you pray, I don't want you to pray vain repetitions. I don't want you to repeat yourself over and over. He says, that's vain. He says, there's no real relationship there. You're just saying the same thing over and over. He says, when you pray, I want you to actually communicate with me. And by the way, when you're praying, you're communicating with God. But he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Do you see that? Look at verse 6. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now here's the interesting thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, he says, do not pray vain and repetitious prayers as the heathen do. He says they think they're going to be answered for their much speaking. He says, don't do it. Now in verse 9, he says, after this manner therefore pray ye. So this is what he said. He said, do not pray vain and repetitious prayers. He says, God doesn't hear that. That doesn't please God. The heathen do that. They think that their prayers will be answered for their much speaking. He says, instead, I want you to pray like this. Look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. And amen. And here's the amazing thing to me. God says, do not pray vain and repetitious prayers. He says, instead, pray like this. And he gives them an example. And you know what false religions do today? They take his example and they say, let's pray this, vain and repetitiously. Does that make any sense to anybody? Do you understand what I just said? I don't know if I'm using too many words or what. He says, don't pray vain and repetitious prayers. I want you to pray something like this. He said, let me give you an example of how a prayer should go. So he gives them an example. And then churches today take that example and they say, let's pray this vain and repetitiously. Let's take beads and say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, blah, 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 blah. In the same context, he got done saying, don't do that. He says, don't pray vain and repetitious prayer. He says, pray like this. And they take the example prayer and they pray that vain and repetitious. Does that make sense? Isn't that amazing? It's crazy. We ought to communicate with God. Our prayer life is us speaking to our Heavenly Father. It's not about saying a lot of words. It's about communicating with our Heavenly Father. Do you understand that? Number five. Let me give you some practical prayer. Practical prayer. Some tips on prayer. We often find Jesus praying in the Bible, and we can use his example to learn practical tips when it comes to prayer. So let me give you some practical tips on prayer. If you'd like to have a consistent prayer life, you should take these tips and they will help you. I promise they will. Letter A, have a certain place to pray. Have a have a certain place to pray. Luke 11:1 says, and it came to pass that as he was, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Notice it says, as he was praying in a certain place. Do you see that? Now, nothing's in the Bible by mistake. The Bible specifically says he was praying in a certain place. When he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, notice, he's giving you advice. He says, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So we understand this. If you're going to develop a consistent prayer life, you're going to have a specific place to pray. Now, you know, he says here, enter into thy closet. I believe the culture then was a little different. I don't know how big your closet is. You may be able to pray in it. But the point is this, find a place to pray. Find a place where every day that's where you go to pray. It may be a closet. And praise the Lord for it. There's nothing wrong with that. It may be, you know, outside. It may be somewhere. Don't let it be on your bed, okay? You're setting yourself up for failure. You may think I'm joking, but I've literally heard people say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the alarm clock 15 minutes early, and I'm just going to lay in my bed and pray for 15 minutes with my eyes closed. Now, I don't know about you, but if I lay on in a bed with the room dark and my eyes closed, the last thing I'm going to be doing is praying. I mean, good night. I fall asleep driving. You think I'm gonna stay up praying? Look, if you want to get serious about praying, you need to get up, get a cup of coffee in you, and you know, get out somewhere in a certain place and pray. Letter B. Spend time praying alone. Spend time praying alone. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitude away, notice, he sent the multitude away. He went up into a mountain. Look what it says. Apart to pray. Jesus consistently got away to pray. He got away alone. And when the evening was come, look what it says. He was there alone. What was he doing? He was praying. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day. Let me give you some advice. You want to have time to pray? Get up a great while before the day. Some of you don't realize it, but you know that the sun comes up gradually. You guys get up and the sun's already up. You know, it comes up slowly. There's these things, they're called sunrises. It happens slowly. You ought to get up early and see it one of these days. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he got up way before the day, before the sun came out. He got up early. Why? To spend time alone in prayer. Look what it says, Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out... and departed into a solitary place. That's what solitary means. A place where he would be alone. And there prayed. If you're going to have a consistent prayer life, you're going to have a specific place to pray. You're going to have to spend time praying alone by yourself. And I believe we ought to take the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray early in the morning. Because you know, early in the morning, before the kids are up, before, you know, you start getting phone calls and before you start having, you know, emergencies everywhere and you got to go do this and you got to do that. You know, when you just can spend time alone with God in prayer, you're going to be the most effective. Letter C, have a certain time to pray. Have a certain time to pray. Mark 1:35 again. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place there and prayed. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, look what it says, at the hour of prayer. They had a specific time, a specific hour set aside for prayer, being the ninth hour. So for them, they just knew, at the ninth hour, we're going to go into the temple, they had a specific place, and we're going to pray. That's it, our time to pray. Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, do you remember the story of Daniel? He had a specific time where he would pray. So have a certain time to pray. Letter D. Pray for extended periods of time. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued, look at this, all night in prayer to God. The Lord Jesus Christ spent all night praying. Isn't that amazing? He prayed for extended periods of time. Do you remember this story? Mark 14:32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he's saying to his disciples, sit here a while I shall pray. The Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to be crucified. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, goes to a specific place to spend a specific time, amount of time praying. Verse 33. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. Verse 34. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh, and findeth them sleeping. Not funny? And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? He said, All I asked you was to pray for me for 1 hour. You couldn't pray for 1 hour with me? He says, You're falling asleep. He says, Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He had a specific place he was going to pray. And he said, I want to pray for an hour. You know, I've told the guys before, what I'd like to do one of these days is have, just like on a Saturday morning at like 4 in the morning, just have like an hour to pray at the building. You say, why haven't you done it? Because nobody would show up. You know, some of you would show up. But then I'd have to wake you up, so it'd just get annoying. But, you know, you got to have a specific time to pray, is what I'm saying. And don't start for an hour. I don't know if you've ever tried to pray for an hour. Pray for an hour is a long time, and it's hard. Build up to that, you know. But have a time of prayer. Letter F. Exercise faith when you pray. Exercise faith when you pray. We gotta get going. We're almost done. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. Look what it says. Believing ye shall receive. That's the key. You say, I ask for a lot of things in prayer. But if you believe, then he says, ye shall receive. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. One of the missing ingredients we have in our prayer lives is that we don't actually have faith that God hears us, or we don't have faith that God is actually going to accomplish what we're asking for. If you pray in faith, God will do it. Letter G, make specific requests. We're almost done. We are almost done, okay? So we just gotta get through this real quickly. This is probably some of the best advice I can give you. Make specific requests. We like to pray for these generic things, you know? Heavenly Father, please save all of Sacramento. Okay, that's nice. But maybe, you know, if you're praying for somebody's salvation, have a list of people you want to see saved. Do you understand that? And you say, I need a better job. You know, no, say, Lord, I'm going to go apply at this one place. And if it's your will, allow me to have this one job. If I could just get this job at McDonald's, my life would be set, you know, whatever. You know, I don't know. If I could get the CEO job at McDonald's, now that might help, you know. But have a specific, make your request specific. Not only that, write them down. Write them down. You know, it's amazing to me when I started writing down my prayer requests. The beautiful thing about writing down your prayer requests is that as God answers them, you can cross them off. And then you have testimony of, wow, God answered that prayer. And God answered that prayer. And God answered that one. You know, and it helps build your faith. When a lot of times we pray for something and we forget about it and God answers it and we never even acknowledge the fact that He answered it. But if you have it right now, I'm to the point where I write down my prayer requests and I date them. Like when I started praying for that specific request. So that when God answers it, I can be like, wow, that took the 2 weeks. Good night. That was good. You know what I mean? I mean, pray specific requests. Cross them down. Conclusion. Luke 11:9 says this, and I say unto you, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. James 4:2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Notice the last part of verse 2, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. God is just waiting for you to pray. Let me tell you something. There are things in this world that God wants you to have. There are things that God wants to have, that He wants it to happen in your life. And no matter if no one ever prayed for it, if God wants you to have it, let me tell you something, you will have it. You understand that? If God wants something to happen to you, you say, I never asked for that. But if God wants you to have it, He'll make sure you have it. There are things in this world that God does not want you to have. And no matter how much you pray, you're not going to get it if God does not want you to have it. Like, that's why I can't get that job at McDonald's. No. You know, if God doesn't want you to have it, it's not going to happen. That's why we pray for His will. Do you understand that? But here's what you got to understand. The Bible is very clear about this. There are things in this world that God wants you to have, but He will only give you if you ask for them. Isn't that amazing? He says, ye have not because, not because I don't want to give it to you. Not because I'm not able to give it to you. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. He said, if you ask, I give it to you. You know what that tells me? I'm going to pray for everything. Because either way, I'm going to be saved. If He wants me to have it, I'm going to have it. If He doesn't want me to have it, I'm not going to have it. But there's that gray area of things that God would give me if I would ask for Him. And He's just waiting. But you know, our problem is this. We don't pray. You say, why don't we pray? Because we don't believe that He will answer it. Because we don't actually believe that God can do it. We need to be a people of prayer. God is just waiting for us to pray. There are things that God would answer if we would pray. And the most important part of prayer and the hardest part of prayer is this, doing it. Just do it. Just get up. Just take time. Just turn off the television. Turn off the computer. Get in a room by yourself. Get up early if you have to get up early or stay up late. You know, however your schedule works. Just make time to pray. It'll revolutionize your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. Thank You for our church. Thank You for this lesson. I know it's basic lessons. Prayer. Bible reading. But Father, I pray You'd bless them. And I pray You'd help us, Father, to be a people of prayer. Lord, we love You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.